Absolute Truth is a program dedicated to the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, helping you get more out of your Bible. It is a program provided through your free will offering. Grace Bible Ministries is located at 631 Clayton Street in Montgomery, Alabama.
Call 1-888-7-CHRIST
for service times and other materials. And now, your Bible teacher, Brother Hampton.
All right, Ephesians chapter 2. We are in our verse-by-verse study of Ephesians. I want to pay a special attention to the yous, the yees, the wees, and the uses. Now, if anybody doesn't know what those are pronouns. Pronouns are unique. If I said us, it would include all of us. If I said you, that would be an exclusion to me. If I said we, it would be a group in opposed to another group as an identification. So as you go down Ephesians chapter 2, remember that in 12 and 13, we're talking to two different groups of Ephesians. And there is a group that has never seen Paul. And then there is a group that fell on Paul's neck in the book of Acts and kissed him and wept sorely because they would see his face no more. So there's two groups. And so as we go down Ephesians chapter 2, we'll probably get down a couple passages. As we get down the passages, you will start to see a division between these groups. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. This is what the Bible says. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye, notice this ye, the you and the ye are the same people, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Who's the we all? That's everybody. We all. Who's the ye? One group. The we all is both groups. Now watch this. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. There is a teaching that you are not a sinner at birth. I got some bad news. In Adam, all die. It didn't say, had you committed sin, you die. You're in sin because you're in Adam. It's not an emotional thing. You don't have to go out and smoke marijuana to go to hell. You go to hell because you're in Adam. And we're by nature, by the natural event of life, conception, a sinner. You know, I was watching this morning before our program. I don't like that Church of Christ preacher, so I switched channels over to the Today with Sunday Morning or Sunday Morning Today or whatever that show is on Channel 8. Anyway, and they were talking about sin cell. And I don't know where you guys sit on this politically, but, you know, human existence is equated when you take 23 chromosomes from the male and 23 chromosomes for a total of 46 chromosomes in one egg makes a human being. That's just as human as you are. Now, I've thought about all this. You know, we're playing with this stuff, and really we don't ever think about, or we by nature are the children of wrath. All these children, that they're born into Adam. They're born into sin. And you got to ask why they die. And, you know, that may get complicated in philosophical terms, but really the reason that we're using them is because of sin. Self-existence, self-absorption, you know, we're self-absorbed. We're interested in us, not them. They can't argue, therefore we're more powerful. But the Bible says we, by nature, are the children of wrath. Well, let me ask a question. How about these? These sin cells, are they human beings? How many would equate that they're a human being? Let me just see. If you think they're humans, raise your hand. Yeah. It's 46 chromosomes. 46 chromosomes are a human being. 23 chromosomes make a sweet pea. No, it does. I'm not kidding you. They have 23 chromosomes in a cell. That's a sweet pea. Everybody has a race. 46 is human. So how do you feel about that? I mean, how many think that there's something good could come out of stem cell research? I think that could possibly happen. But what, at what cost? Are we going to start manufacturing little humans so that we can draw off of them? How many ever read the book by Robin Cook Como? You know, where they sustained them in a coma so they could harvest their part. You know, that's really kind of what we're doing with stem cells, just at a very beginning part of life. And as I think about my nature, we're the children of wrath, these are entities unto their own. Now, were they immaculately conceived? No, they were conceived in the laboratory. But think about it, no matter what condition, whether they were conceived in a laboratory or conceived in the womb or conceived in a test tube, I don't care. Are you listening to me? I believe they're human. What made them human? It's a mathematical problem. It's not hard to figure. Everybody who knows of those stem cells know what they are. Scientists look at those cells as cells. But anybody who's mathematically understands, that's a human cell. And those human cells are unique. And, you know, I don't know how anybody cannot believe in God that watches that. I watched the Discovery Channel with Brendan. We were watching that, and they actually had that egg reproducing itself. You know, you see it. And then all of a sudden, around the fourth week, out of all the cells, all of a sudden, you see a flickering in there of the heart. And you're thinking, how could that possibly be? How is it that those cells were identical, now have different function? I mean, in my, all I have to do is say, wow, God, that's incredible. I mean, wow, you know, is abortion killing a human? Yeah. Is throwing away a stem cell killing a human? Yeah, so then you have this big argument. And me being diabetic, let me tell you, they can probably fix diabetes with stem cells. So the argument rages. But what I'm trying to tell you is, to me, it doesn't matter whether they were born of a human parents or not. I believe these were conceived in sin, just like I was. And I believe that they are born in sin because of Adam. That's exactly right. And it wouldn't matter to me whether they were born, conceived. It doesn't matter to me. You all understand? It's not a personal opinion with me. I know that they were born. Now, why would this embryo come to an end? The wages of sin. Now, let me ask you a question. Why is 46 chromosomes human? Because it took 23 and 23 to make it, right? This embryo is in Adam. Go like this. And everything in Adam is going to what? Die. Why? It was conceived in sin. So the fact that we're killing off these embryos for research would represent what? Death. Why'd they die? Because of sin. People often ask me, why do babies die? Let me tell you, babies die because of sin. It isn't because they have committed sins. It's sin, the nature. That's the problem with people. People are trying to repent of their sins. And religion has got people repenting of their sins. But I got some bad news. Sins are not the problem. Sin is the problem. And that is the differentiation that you have to understand. Now I'm going to show that till you go to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to prove my point now. Go to Romans chapter 6. Just grab one verse. You guys know it, 23. But Romans chapter 5 is what I want. See, people are confused why these embryos are being used. It's sin. They then have the sentence of death. I believe that's a unique human being, identified by itself, by its DNA. There is no other embryo that has that exact DNA unless it's an exact duplicate of itself, identical twins, quadruplets, and, you know, those things. You understand? And even all those aren't necessarily identical. They can be fraternal. All I'm trying to tell you is that sin doesn't wait until birth to happen. Sin is at the conception of these 23 and these 23. When that happens, that is in sin. I'm not saying sin because a sin that happened. Y'all understand? I'm not saying because that happened that was sin. I'm saying in sin. Now, Romans 6, verse 23. I'm taking my time a little bit because I believe it is very, very complicated to understand this concept. Because we've heard the problem with us is that we smoke, drink, play cards, lust. We've heard that so much that we think that's what's sending us to hell. Amen? I mean, how many said, well, if you'll repent of your sins, God will... Well, I repented of my sins many, many times before I got saved, and I never had the peace of God. You know why? You never got rid of the sin nature. And so, notice the plurals and the non-plurals. In verse 23, Romans 6, verse 23, just one verse here. For the wages of sin, not sins. And if you'll listen to people quote that verse, they'll say sins. The wages of sin is death. If the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Did it say the gift of God is eternal life through repentance of your sins? No. So there's a misclarity in the verse that if you don't understand, it's saying the wages of sin is death. All right, go to Romans chapter 5. Are you all with me? I haven't lost anybody, right? I want to make this as simple as possible. You do not go to hell today because of your sins. Your sins are a result of you being born in sin. Y'all with me? The reason that... Hey, listen. The reason we lust after people... How many here lust? How many here has lusted? Come on, raise your hand. We all have. Why do we do that? Look, Bobby's so embarrassed he's leaving. Hey, listen, let me tell you. You know you're not supposed to be looking. You're walking there with your husband or your wife, and you're holding hands. And I know that none of the church members ever saw you. I know that. But the reason you did that was an unhelpful urge of sin. It just manifests itself. People say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start conquering sins. I'm going to start being a good person. So I did this when I first got saved. I'm going to straighten out my life. I became a sin snuffer. I did. Well, I conquered smoking. Can you conquer smoking? You can conquer it. I did it. Okay, so that pride about not smoking is kind of swollen up inside of me. I understand. I'm going to conquer pride one day. You all understand the problem? I mean, people say, I quit these. Well, who cares? Your pride is so swollen up inside of you that you can't... Amen? Amen. And people in religion want to say, I'm better than you. Ooh. There ain't none good, no, not one. So the preacher behind you is forgiven. He's got the righteousness of God imputed. He's holy and acceptable to God. He is complete before Christ. And he's seated at the right hand of God in Christ. But the one thing he isn't is good. The one thing he isn't is good. So, how did I become a sinner? How did you become a sinner? Well, let me show you. Verse 12, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Because here's the concept. By nature, and we're by nature, the children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2. How did we get into this condition? Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. What? Sin? Sin. The noun. By Satan? I mean, you know, that's kind of how the devil made me do it. I hate to tell you, that isn't true. The devil didn't make you lust after that boy or girl. In case you're the mayor of Smokane, lusting after the boy. It's a sin. Say, well, he can't help it. He can't help it. If he could have helped it, he could have been given eternal life by his basis of human walk or human decision. But God said there was no humans that were capable, so he sent his own son to die for us. By one man, Adam, sin entered in the world. It wasn't by the devil. It wasn't the fact that we fell at the tree in the sense of Miss Adam, Miss Eve. It was Adam disobeyed God, became a sinner, and at that point, guess what happened? He put the curse not only on him, but everyone that is born after Adam. Hold on to here. I'm coming right back, so don't lose this. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to nail this thing down to you. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, the Jews were sinners, and so were the Gentiles outside the covenant sinners. What made one a sinner made the other one a sinner at the same time. And Paul knew this. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, you ought to have this underlined. For as in Adam, all died. Why? By one man, sin entered into the world. Why do all men die? Is it because you get old? Is it because you get old? No, because baby dies. Why do a baby die? Sin. Why does he die? Because that baby's in. Why do embryos die? Say, how far back can you take it? Only to the point that it's human. 46 chromosomes. If it had 48 chromosomes, what would you have? I have no idea, but it wouldn't be human. 23 or what? Sweet peas. 14 or something else. I'm telling you, there's a set of chromosomes for every living thing that's carbon-based. Every living thing. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you that the 46, when they're come together, were born in the likeness of Adam, and therefore the sentence of death was upon them from the get-go. So you say, why the abortions? Say it. Sin. Why do babies die in car accidents? Sin. People say, well, I don't understand why this baby died. You know, listen, if I was a Church of Christ, now listen to me, don't get mad at me if you've ever been to Church of Christ. I know Mac was, so don't get mad at me, okay? All I'm telling you is that there's a belief in that church that says you don't become a sinner until you sin. Then explain to me why a baby dies. Because the Bible, the only definition for death was the wages of sin is death. Say that. The wages of sin is death. That's all the Bible says. So I know that any time death is associated, it's associated with what? Sin. And I mean, that seems like, to me, a simple concept, but for religious people, that's a very difficult concept. Because we've always been told that we're going to hell because we haven't acted a certain way. And that's just not true. Why? In Adam, all die. But just like that, those that are in Christ shall what? All be made alive. Man, that's good stuff there in 1 Corinthians 15. You got that? So in Christ shall all be made alive. So the question is, how do you get from out of Adam into Christ? Here, you believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be wise. So how do you change your destiny of death? Through belief. Man, this stuff is good. You can't make this up. Folks, listen, it's not about your repentance. It's not about your ability to clean up your life. It's about your ability to believe God that He made you a way, knowing that a sentence of death was written upon you. How did you get that sentence of death? Go back to Romans chapter 5. And you know, let me tell you, this stuff is so incredible that when you really get to going with this, it's just, this isn't being taught anywhere. I've listened to sermon after sermon, and people have not a clue why they're really ending up going to hell. They think it's, they come down here and sling snot at an old-fashioned altar. That doesn't change you from being an Adam. The only thing that can change you is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Be saved. Now watch this. Go back to Romans chapter 5, where we were. I just want to clarify, being an Adam, all what? Die. Why? Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon what? For that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, even though there was no law, and I've got to stretch this out on the board here. Adam, Moses, in here there's 2,500 years and there's no what? There was one law given between this period and that period. You know what it was? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How many ate of that tree? Only one. Then what did God do to make sure they didn't get it again? To the tree of life. They put a flaming sword, a cherubim with a flaming sword to keep them out. So no one sinned after that. And yet, something happened during that period of time. Why would God allow 2,500 years without any law to happen? Because He wanted to show you that these people weren't dying because they had committed sin. They died because they were in Adam. Why did you think they gave 20? You know, I've talked to, some Christian men that I thought knew something, and they thought the law went all the way back here. Why did God leave that 25? I believe He was trying to prove to the world that it wasn't sins that sent you to hell. It was what you are by your nature in Adam. Why? In Adam, and so they all died. Now let's go back to the passage. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even them that had not sinned after the similitude. You may not know what the word similitude is, but I want you to write right beside it likeness. It means similarity, similar. They couldn't have sinned after the similitudes of Adam's transgression. Why? Okay, so hold on. Then we really got a thing. They didn't, that one law was protected. They couldn't sin after the similitude, and yet they still what? Now that ought to make witnessing to your friends a lot easier, amen? You with me? Hey, why are you in sin? Because you smoke, drink, play cards? That's what religion tells you. You know, religion will try to put the guilt rip on you. And the listen, you're guilty. I'll tell you. You're guilty if you never even look. I can't even hardly watch TV without my eyes popping out. I don't know. God put something in me to like bosoms. I mean, I'm sorry. That's the way it is. Brenda says your eyes are bulging. I'm sorry. Folks, listen. We're all sinners. We all got problems. If you haven't got any problem, you're in the wrong place. This is a church full of people with problems, but there's an answer to it all. One, we know that by one man sin entered into the world. So we all have the problem by natural existence. Do you understand? By natural existence, we have this. And that is what causing the writing of going to hell is not by what you've done, but who you are. Okay, let's keep reading because it gets better here. Verse 14 again. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even them that had not sinned after the similitudes of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. I love 15. For through the offense of one, who would that be? Adam. Many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, who's that? Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. So we have two men here. We have Adam over here, and we have Christ over here. Now you're going to find out about salvation. You're going to find out how people can be saved in a world where, hey, come on, folks, we live in a world that mothers chop up their babies. You don't see a problem with that? We live in a world where people can, I thought about that little girl Holloway in Aruba. You know, she went down thinking, Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I'm going to take it. You know, going down for a party, and now she's missing. And that parent is brokenhearted. I thought, I cried, having lost a child, I'm thinking of what that mother must feel like and how that ache and the pain. And you know why? Because someone was born in Adam. And she's dead. She's dead because of sin. By one man, sin entered into the world. By one man, something else happened. I ache every time I see that little girl, don't you? How much we love our kids. how much we would give up. As I sat over my dead son's body, I can tell you that my heart ached as if I would have traded places with him in a minute. See, I've already lived a life that I see, and he had everything in front of him, and I would have traded in a minute with him. I'll guarantee you that little mom in Aruba would trade with that daughter in a heartbeat so she can see life and experience. Folks, we're in a mess in this world. Amen? Why can't people just quit stealing? Why can't people just keep quit raping? How about all these pedophiles and sex offenders? I mean, we live in a sick world. And it's not because they sin that it's sick. It's because they were born into sin. And the Bible says sin shall wax worse. And that's all we're seeing is exactly what God said. He'll say, well, all we need is a great revival. No, all we need is to get out of this world. Now let's see. Verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Who's that one? Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For by one man's offense, who was that? Adam. Death reigned by one. Much more they which received the abundance of grace. What do you have to do? Repent? What do you have to do? Receive the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Who? Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense was by one that came, a judgment came upon all men to condemnation. How many men got condemned because of Adam? Even so, by the righteousness of one. So how do you get out of this? By repentance? By walking the aisle? By being baptized? How do you get it? By one man. He that hath the Son hath what? Hey, he that hath the Son. I have the Son, therefore I have life. I don't have life because I'm good. I don't have life because I changed my way. I don't have life because I repented. I have life because I have the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. That's simple. So people want to make it complicated. Got to quit the sin. Well, if that could have done it, the Bible says Christ died in vain in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Why do we frustrate the grace of God? You know? In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, if Christ died for one, then he died for all. Then we're all dead. Hey, what am I trying to tell you? That this embryo at the point where this 46th chromosome was born in the likeness of who? And therefore has already written on him the sentence of what? Yeah. So why are people wanting to destroy these embryos? Sin. You say, well, it may be their sin. Doesn't matter. Sin caused it. Not sins. When that embryo is destroyed, is it a living creature at 46? It dies. Why does it die? And it doesn't matter if it's a 6-month-old baby, an aborted baby, a done-up stem cell. He'll say it doesn't make a difference. Hey, look, I can't stop them from... How many here can stop them from using stem cells? Do you think it's out of control? I don't know how to stop them. But I do know why they're being destroyed. For the same reason I'm going to die. As soon as they do 46 chromosomes, that little human, people ask me, when do I think that life begins? I believe when those 23 and 23 get together and make 46, I think that's why. I've been studying cells now for 9 years of my life. I actually make a living looking at cells. I watch them under that dark field microscope, and I watch them vacillate. I watch them breathe. You know, every cell in your body does exactly what you do. Do you realize that? Every cell, everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. Your cells do that every second of the day. They take in oxygen and put off CO2. Everything you do as a whole entity, an individual cell does. That's amazing to me. Isn't that amazing? You have to take in water and you put off waste. Guess what a cell does? Take in water and put out waste. You have to take in nutrients such as amino acids, essential fatty acids, carbohydrates. You take those things in and you put out fecal matter or waste. Okay? So does the cell. Everything that you do, it does. You know why God did that? He did it by the design of this one 46 chromosome cell, which makes up everything that you are as life. You're a combination of 125 trillion cells put together by God. You say, how are they held together? By a protein called collagen. That alone is a miracle, don't you think? That's a miracle. And yet, when there's 46 chromosomes, there's something different than the plant life and the tree life and all that. We have a sentence of death. The wages of sin is death. But by one man, sin entered the world. But by one man, guess what? Came life and righteousness. And so the question is how do you go from Adam to Christ? You believe. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why would you want to stay in Adam? Adam's condemned. Adam has no hope. It's already been told what's going to happen to Adam. Adam will die and will ultimately die the second death. Death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire, which they shall burn for what? Man, that's huge, guys. Why would you want that? All you have to do is believe that you are in Adam. How many believe that they are in Adam? Then if you want to get out of Adam, all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ went to that cross and became your sin for you. Entrusting that, listen to me, in entrusting what Christ did for you, you can have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How did I get eternal life? How did I become a possessor of eternal life? Because I repented of my sins? How many Christians in here have sinned since they've gotten saved? You know, if that was the case, then the only thing that we should be having as church is come on down and get rid of it. Blow some snot down here at the old-fashioned altar. You could never stop. I never see the preachers get down there. Have you noticed that? They'll go, hey, I think it's time for some of you in the audience to rededicate their lives, straighten out their lives. You need to bring your sin down here. I'm thinking, preacher, why don't you get down there? I never saw a preacher say, you know, I've got a problem with pornography, homosexual. Why don't you come down and lay it down? Well, I'm above all that. I'm a pastor. Oh, really? Folks, listen to me. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm telling you, by nature, you were born the children of wrath. Preachers always try to get up and act like, boy, I've got my ducks in a row. Ain't a preacher. Listen, the Pope ain't done it. Okay, don't get mad at me. John Ed hasn't even done it. Ooh, who said Billy Graham? I don't know. That's almost sacrilegious. There ain't any good. They all need Christ. Everybody in this room needs Jesus Christ. Why don't you decide? You know what stops people from getting saved? Pride. Oh, it's not the smoking as much as it is the pride issue. They don't want to admit what they really are. They won't look in the mirror of the reflection of the Word of God and see that sinner who's sitting there, dying and rotting of filthy, rotten flesh. Oh, they look in the mirror and they go, boy, aren't you the thing that's happening? I tell you how bad it is. I tell you how much we love this flesh. How about boob jobs and tummy tucks and facelifts and... What am I trying to tell you? That to have eternal life, you have to have Christ. And you can't get Christ by behavioral mattering. You get Christ by faith. And the reason that I have eternal life isn't because I'm good, because I'm not any good. Brenda would tell you. She knows me better than anyone in this room. And she knows the reason that I have eternal life is because my Savior went to that cross and died for me. And had not that event happened, I would have been lost and would go to hell. There would be no hope for me. So I'm not trying to build this church based upon your feeling guilty. Listen, I can tell you, you look in that mirror, you ought not to see the pretty person you think you are. You ought to see the death-ridden person that you are and trust Christ. What is stopping people from trusting Christ? I thought about Brenda's brother, lost as a ball in high weeds. Wayne once told her, said, I'm going to get saved when I get all these things I want to do behind me. See, he thinks it's a behavioral thing. He thinks it's a B.F. Skinner type thing, you know, behavioralist. It is not about behavioralism. You can't behave your way to the cross. You can't behave your way to heaven. You can't behave your way to seeing Jesus. You know how you get to Jesus? By faith. For by grace are you saved through that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People say, yeah, but don't you want to straighten your life out? Yeah, and I would have if I could have. I quit worrying about Barry. I'm trying to live what I am in Christ. People have a hard time with that in grace. God never called a sinless man to preach. All the preachers that have ever preached over the histories of the great men of God, and I thought, here's a list of them. Bullinger, Brother E.C. Moore, Stamm. I mean, we could just name hundreds of them. And they weren't any good. None of them was worth the gunpowder to blow them into hell. The reason that they were preachers is because they had received the grace of God. Spurgeon's thing on justification. He described justification as being like on a cliff. And there's this rope, and down here are jaggedy rocks. And you're on this rope here, and that rope is life. And it has some length to it, whatever that length is. For a baby that died at 1, it's a lot shorter than someone who's going to live to 81. Mom's almost 81. She'll be 81 in August. She may live to 89, but she's closer to the end than the rest of you feel. Amen? But that isn't true, folks. Listen, I know that in this room, there will be one of us will be the next to die. Do you realize that? One of us in this room will be the next to die. Come on, is it Tamara? Michelle, you're so beautiful. Would it happen to you? Why, it would have to happen to Mom. She's the oldest, right? No. Let me tell you, I used to preach that. And the night that my son died, the oldest woman in the church died at 89. 9 and 89. 80 years difference. You know what night they died? The same night. So this is a representation of your life. And so the angel of the Lord comes by and says, you know what you need to do is let go of that rope. You're trusting your own life. You're trusting your ability to live it. And so you take a few vitamins and you pull yourself up the rope a little bit. You know, you're feeling good. You know, you look young. Then you have a boob job or a facelift. You pull yourself up. But ultimately, you're slipping down constantly down that rope. And the angel of the Lord says, you got to let go because everybody that's been on that rope has died. He says, no kidding, look down 500 feet and there's jaggedy rocks. If I let go, I'm going to die. He says, no, you're not going to die. You've got to believe that I can save you. What are you saying? Saying everybody on the rope has died since Adam to now. You're not going to escape it. What are you saying you want me to do? I want you to believe me. I want you to let go of the rope. I'm afraid. Well, why don't you just relax? Because you know what? The reality is if you don't trust me, you're going to hit those rocks anyway. Spurgeon, 100 years ago, preaching this. You think he had a clue? Yeah, amen. Finally, that person says, what do I got? I'm slipping down this rope at a high speed toward the end of my life. I'm going to trust the Lord. And he lets go. And the moment he lets go, he lets God. You want to be saved this morning? You're born as a children. By nature, the children are wrath. You can't help that. No more than you can help being black or me being white. You can't help it. I didn't have a choice with my parents. I didn't have a choice whether my dad was a pedophile or not. I didn't have a choice of whether I was rich or poor. I was just born. And we were all born in Adam. We didn't have a choice. But today, because he gave Adam the choice, see, he set a tree before Adam. He said, this is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat that, you'll die. And if you eat this one, you'll have eternal life. You come back to eating that one, you keep living forever. See, God gave Adam a choice. And so forth, God doesn't give you a choice. He's a ripoff artist. You didn't have a choice whether you're black or white. Amen? Didn't have whether you're rich or poor. Amen? Didn't have any, but you have a choice today. You've got a choice right now. Do you want life or death? That's the choice. And by what you believe today, if you'll let go of what you're hanging on to, all your religious, it may be baptism, it may be church membership, it may be something you did that in your mind God's so impressed with, and if you'll let go of all that, God will save you based upon the finished work of Calvary. Now I'm talking in a very serious moment right now because, let me tell you, people are so confused of what salvation is. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to... Hey, listen, you don't have to lift a finger. In your mind, all you have to do is see yourself stuck on that rope. How many realize they're in Adam? Say amen. Amen. And listen, the only way to get off Adam is not to wait to the end because everybody that gets off of Adam that way dies.
The only way to do it is believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and today trust Him as your Lord and Savior. If you do that, you'll be a Christian. It won't be a matter of who you are in your person. It'll be who you are in Christ. I thought about the churches of Christ. I told Brenda, she came by this van and says, churches of Christ. I said, our thought is say, Grace Bible Church, church in Christ. I'm in the Lord. And he that hath the Son hath life. Y'all take a 10-minute break.